Hi, I'm Jason Newlander, and I've created a new fictional podcast on the oneofus.net podcast network called Salt. If you're a fan of crime noir with a little sci-fi thrown in, then I think this just might be your thing. Jean-Pierre Desperoir is a Haitian-born salt smuggler living in 1931 Tunis and born during a voodoo ritual with the uncanny ability to travel through space and time. Think The Big Sleep meets 12 Years a Slave meets Doctor Who, and you've got the idea. 20 half-hour episodes tell the first season story, and I promise it's a doozy. Salt podcasts every other week on the oneofus.net podcast network. Subscribe today.
Appropriate term for this movie series, since technically this is the part where everyone is letting themselves, you know, do whatever the fuck they want to do. Like, The Purge, I think, would be the next day after, when you're like, God, I'm an asshole.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. I mean, yeah, you're right, because this is the, if it was like eating a lot, it's like you don't purge when you're eating Thanksgiving. You're gonna you binge and then you purge and then there's a health problem.
These government guys don't pay attention to semantics at all.
I just feel like Chris just blew my mind right out of the gate.
Are you ready for this, guys? You'll never look at this series the same again. Now, we're talking about the second movie in the new Jason Blumhouse productions, the master of new franchises, The Purge Anarchy, of directed and written by the same guy, James DeMonaco. Before we get there, I'm Chris Cox.
J.C. DeLeon.
Elliot.
Ed Travis.
And we are, Elliot is now just like Cher. He's just like, I'm just Elliot.
I'm pretty soon I'm just going to be a semicolon.
You'll have a symbol, like the artist formerly, the critic formerly known as Elliot.
Elliot formerly known as Mouse Cop.
You know, we're just going to call you the nitpicker. Come on.
Man, I'm trying. I think this movie review is not going to help my case.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. Now, the original film, The Purge, was very much more of a bottle film, a much more smaller movie. I mean, taking the idea, and the far-fetched idea, that like the government says, well, we figured that we can stop crime by giving everyone one night a year where everything is fucking legal and they can do anything they want, called The Purge. And in theory of the movie, when the last movie, I believe it's the fifth Purge, annual purge, they're like, oh, crime is down to unheard of percent, so The Purge actually works, which, once again, there's no way in hell that's actually what would happen, but it's science fiction. You gotta swallow a big thing for the point of saying something else bigger about society. I can live with that.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we're talking about the initial premise, I can live with it.
And that first movie really sells that well.
It does. It sells the premise better than it sells the movie itself.
Yes.
I enjoyed it, but its biggest problem, it's almost too limited. It has this huge idea and then lots of stuff it wants to talk about, but it's so condensed with this one house and this one family that I felt like there just wasn't enough there.
And that was where the Blumhouse element comes in, though, is that it's sort of just like all his other movies. I mean, House is even in the name of his production company, to where it's just all centered in this one place, and it's great from a budget perspective. You can take this sort of grand sci-fi idea that may be a little far-fetched, but set it inside one little house, and then all your budget has to go to is Ethan Hawke, you know, and just put your feet up and allow money to roll in, because that first movie did, like, crazy box office.
I mean, in a way, though, to seeing the reaction of the first one and kind of seeing everybody's criticisms with that one and the way this one turned out, it's almost kind of as if you were going to kickstart this franchise, you need to do it in a micro budget way in a small scenario, so that way the second movie can be a lot bigger. Because if this were the very first movie, as grandiose as it is, like, it just kind of would be too much right out of the gate, I think.
I think, well, there wasn't a necessity to do this. They needed to launch the idea simply. I think Blumhouse's idea of, like, start small, just spend a little bit of money, and if it takes off, because he knows how to get distributors, like, did distribution deals, if it takes off, all that money's in your wheelhouse. I mean, you spent your own money, didn't spend much, and bang, you made a fortune. And then at that point, you can go much bigger if you have cause to with the next film, which is exactly what they did here.
Yeah, because one of the universal things people came out of the first one, it was like, eh, it's a cool idea, but I'd rather see it, like, expanded, and then bam, here we are.
Yeah, this is exactly what everybody said they wanted, and surprise, surprise, it pays off. The idea here, it's the sixth Purge, and now we've got not just one family, but a whole bunch of different characters that have various different plans for the Purge night. There's a young white couple who are having problems in their relationship, and they're on their way to her sister's house to explain, like, you know, hey, we're actually going to be separating, and he clearly doesn't want to, but she does, and yada yada. And guess what? Their car breaks down. Why they're driving to do a task like this on the night of the Purge is anybody's guess.
Yeah, why is anybody out?
But you're like, you know what? You're asking too many questions. If everybody was sensible, there'd be no movie. So
that's not my problem with it.
No, I understand that. The other side of it, you've got a mother and daughter who are, you know, they're presumably safe in their home, all locked away, but unfortunately, there's a mysterious group of, like, heavily armed, expensively armed, and organized black ops groups breaking into houses and killing and abducting people and then killing the shit out of everybody else. And they end up on the group dragged out of their house when who shows up but the Punisher?
Basically.
Well, okay, Crossbones, technically. But since it's Frank Grillo, who was in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and will presumably, based on his character name from it, be playing Crossbones, the villain in Captain America Part 3, but we know he's the guy. He went out on purpose. He's got himself an A-team car. He's driving around.
You almost hear the theme song as he drives.
Seriously, you're like, well, they should have been the scene where he was like, you know, with the welders and stuff, putting giant metal plates all over it that end up being completely useless.
Yeah. I love it when a joke comes together.
Like you do.
But yeah, he's got a mission. We just aren't specifically sure for a while in the movie what it is. But when he sees these guys, these Black Ops guys dragging these girls out and kind of beating them and preparing them to put them in this truck, something breaks in him and he gets out of the car and opens up a can of whoop-ass.
Yeah. Or does, like, something heal in him?
Aww.
Does Mr. Anti-hero up?
Well, he's in a position where you're like, okay, he obviously has somebody in particular he wants to kill. He's not out just to have fun. And he also, even as much as he tries to be hard, he's also often gooey inside. Because not only does he take them along for the ride, like, okay, I'm going to protect you for a while, but also the young white couple that basically, when he's out saving the other girls, they find his door open and are just like, fuck, let's hide in this open car, you know.
Which seems like a smart idea in the middle of the Purge.
Yeah, well, you know, I would have at least locked the car once I was in it.
Yeah.
But you end up with, like, this kind of... It's a zombie film in a way, like, in the way that it's, like, it's just so dark, and it's people killing people, and it's, like, the people themselves are the villains, and you can't tell immediately who's good and who's bad. Is someone going to turn from good to bad? There's a lot of zombie-ish aspects, but I think that underneath all that, the thing that's scariest in this film isn't anything that's immediate. It's the film playing with the idea of, like, are people inherently evil? And you really don't want to believe, as you're watching this film, that they are. It's pulling you into it. It starts with the premise that they are, essentially. And it continues to reinforce that as it goes along. But I feel like eventually it comes to a place where opens up enough light that it lets the audience decide still how it feels. Like, this question has not been answered yet.
Well, you say reinforce, but I say hit you over the head with a hammer. Just every 5 minutes, it was people are evil, the government's evil, everything about us is evil, and there's no redemption except for parts towards the end.
Well, let's not forget, that's because everyone you're seeing are people who are out on the night of the purge.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to, like, the place that people paid for that's maximum security to be safe from the purge, where everyone's just having dinner and watching Sesame Street.
No, that's true. That's
you know,
true.
You're watching people who are out on purpose to kill. Yeah.
People, they even talk about one person saved money all year to get a specific type of gun.
Yeah.
Just for this one night. Like, yeah.
I agree with Elliot as far as some ball peen hammers to the head. One thing that kept happening was, what's the government called? It's called the
New Founding Fathers.
So the New Founding Fathers of America, so the NFFA or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I kept hearing characters, like, you know, saying things like, it is my right as given to me, as afforded me by the AFF, you know, and it's like, they're almost like speechifying these weird things, and that was very overt. Particularly, like, it was just annoying. That was the part to me that was like, okay, yeah, we get it. Like, we saw that, we know the premise.
The reason that didn't irritate me, and I hear what you're saying completely, but because they're going after a different audience than the type of audience that usually watches films like this. Mm-hmm. They're going after an audience that they want to say, hey, by the way, your government is not on your side.
Right.
And you guys need to start paying attention to this. And I think that this director really wants to get across, like, the government is bad, okay?
Even the marketing materials for this movie, they had a hashtag. The official hashtag for the movie is hashtag if the purge was real.
Yeah.
And they want people to, like... And I looked at it. There's all sorts of awful shit on that hashtag.
I mean, it's interesting that, like, all the questions this movie raises, really, though, is, like, is he saying, ultimately, that people are more bad than good and that you shouldn't trust anyone, much less the government? Is he saying specifically that the government is completely bad? Or is he just saying, hey, here's a warning, you know, the rich want to take everything? It's unclear completely what he's saying, but I think that I agree that there are questions that need to be raised, certainly, more to people who don't normally think about these things.
And mm-hmm. I think that's my ultimate problem with this movie. That's
because you're the man.
Yes, I am the man now. I'm a black man's the man. That's weird. I'm Nick Fury. I like it.
You're gonna have me shucking and jiving in 20 years. I know.
My biggest problem is that I don't think he's trying to. I don't know this guy at all. But I don't. When I watch this movie, because of some of the caricatures that are in this movie, my big problem is they have characters and you have characters all through this movie. So I'm looking at it and I watch the main cast. These are well fleshed out characters with motivations. And then you get caricatures like the guy who's trying to rape her and her daughter or the wealthy people. So it's hard to.
I don't know if that's a caricature so much as
that
like
guy.
It's an extreme role, but is it any less extreme than the characters in Escape from New York, which this is most similar to?
To say is, if he's trying to espouse his big message,
yeah,
you got to go. You got to be a little. It's a little exploitative. That's what I'm saying.
Oh no, I don't disagree with you there.
Yeah. And so I don't think he really is trying to get a message across so much as he's trying to make money. And he knows this will push the right button.
Are those two things mutually exclusive?
Well, one of the things I think
I don't think
is
he's trying to send a message at all. That's my thing.
Okay, I would disagree with you there because I think it's just really, you know, walking that really fine line because this is mainstream entertainment. You know what I mean? This is definitely for the masses.
Yeah, nobody makes a movie that's not wanting to make money in the first place.
Right. But the thing is that it is science fiction in a way. I mean, it really is mining this premise for all it's worth and going to dark places with it and going to interesting places with it. I mean, they throw a lot of things at the wall in this movie and you'd think a lot of it would just like fall apart. But I kind of thought it held together and I was like, oh, cool. They went here. Oh, I was hoping they would go there and they did. And they did it pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I was into about this movie that we can,
and
you know.
There's no question. Yeah. You're right, Elliot. It's broad. Very broad, and it's caricaturish in a way that is exemplified by other films that are similar to it, you know? I mean, of this kind of sci-fi, there's no question that this guy is a John Carpenter fan, to my mind, watching this. I mean, it's very similar to his early work in a lot of ways, except that I would say that he's managed in some ways to make the subtext even bleaker and darker than what Carpenter traditionally did, with the exception of maybe The Thing.
and look, to his credit, whether he meant to or not, this is one of the first movies I've ever left just feeling horrible. Like, I just felt shitty because I'm like, Jesus, like, I mean, I've watched depressing movies and felt fine, but this is just so bleak that even if you don't like it, because, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I didn't like it, if that makes sense. Even if you don't like it, you will be affected by it if you're thinking through it. if you're there for the spectacle, you'll have a good time. But if you're there for at least a little bit of the symbolism, no matter whether you agree with it or not, you'll leave affected by it.
Yeah, I think part of that was kind of the crowd we watched it with.
But. Yeah, they were kind of,
they were cheering.
The crowd was freaking me out because they were the people who would go out on the Purge night.
That was really fucking scary at a certain point.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the interesting things this movie does. It makes you kind of be, like, at the end, if you're discussing it amongst your friends, it's like, well, which side of the fence do you fall on? Would you go out and purge that night, or would you kind of hang out in your house? And it's like, I don't know.
And that's why I think that, that it is trying to mine some interesting ideas, because it really is very clear. You know, our group of main characters even has that moment where they're like, oh, this guy helped us. Thank you so much. What were you doing out? Oh, wait. And then he just kind of gives them the cold shoulder and doesn't explain to him anything. And they're like, oh, you know, and it's tense. It's a little bit of a tension for our main characters, which I like.
That leads to one of my only, like, of the characters' complaints is the teenage girl. At a certain point, this guy saved your life, and you're just giving him
just
nothing but
shut
shit.
Shut the fuck up already.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know this guy.
Exactly.
He might be just tolerating you at this point.
Yeah.
That character does not understand the concept of when she should stop talking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true, but that's also, well, that's a little spoilery. I'm not going to get into that.
But, you know, I mean, there's a whole aspect of this where it starts right from the beginning. You see there's a counterinsurgency against what's happened here. There's a popular online guy who's taking over the airwaves here and there and screaming out against the Purge. You know, you guys need to realize this is the rich who are, you know, the rich aren't dying, the poor are dying. Mm-hmm. They're doing this to make us kill ourselves. Population control. Which is probably exactly why, if this ever would actually happen, which it wouldn't, but if it did or something like it, it would be because they were like, well, fuck it, why don't we just let them kill themselves?
Yeah.
And you know it's going to come to something, and sure enough, eventually it does, and it's really, I think, to the film's credit, it's saying something politically, however broadly, and also giving you a fuck yeah moment in the theater, you know?
But it does even more, because it gives you a fuck yeah moment, then when you leave, you actually evaluate. You're like, wait a second, I feel a little bad for this fuck yeah moment almost.
Yeah, I mean, do you cheer for anything happening in this movie? I mean, do you cheer for Frank Grillo ever? I mean, the audience, the one that fascinated me, our audience cheered. There's a time where they're kind of in the financial district and there's a dead, investment banker guy hanging up, and he has a sign on him that said, like, hey, this guy, you know, took all our money and now he's dead. It's just the most blunt sign ever. It's just like, hey, I killed this guy because he's the 1%. And somebody just one person in our theater just out loud just cheered and clapped. And it was like, oh, man, they're definitely the people who would be out that night. But but it's like, that's very interesting.
That was the guy who got fucked over by an investment bank.
Yeah.
Of like tens of thousands of others a few years back.
Yeah.
So actually, if anything, that was one of the kills in the movie that made me go as well. It's like, fuck yeah.
But and I agree, and I'm not coming down on that. But what's interesting to me is that I was telling this to JC when we left that this movie is coming around in a part that, if you believe that movies and pop culture to a certain degree reflect society, that there's that much undercurrent of resentment going on right now.
Oh, yeah, no question.
And you know, it's with the 99% movie, there's stuff out there, but that we're at a point where, like, competition between classes is that pronounced, that you can put that in a movie and elicit that type of reaction.
And even that
devious. It says something sort of messed. I mean, it says something very worrying about our society.
I don't think that we needed this movie to be told that, though.
I don't think we need to be told, but it was jarring to me that I knew it was out there, but to see it up on the screen.
I think what I liked about it wasn't so much that that's what this film is saying. I mean, we all know there's that big of a class division at this point. What it's talking about is how angry are people actually
exactly,
about it.
Exactly, the level of anger is the thing I was surprised about.
I mean, how bad is it going to get? You know, how angry are you? Are you murder people angry about this point? And how many people actually feel that way? And I actually thought the way it dealt with it was both kind of intelligent in a very broad way, once again, in a very sci-fi sort of way, but also made you have a good time. And I think ultimately I don't want to just be lectured at by a film unless you're giving me a good time at the same time. And I think this movie ultimately accomplished that. Frank Grillo certainly proved that he made for a great tough guy leading man.
I love Frank Grillo so much.
Yeah, I've liked him in everything he's been in.
Everything. And I just, it was like, we haven't really brought him up yet, but I mean, he, I think, is just one of the reasons why this movie just totally just sunk in for me. And I really dug this movie because, yeah, almost because of it. I mean, all the other stuff we've talked about too, but it's like he really anchored it.
Well, he's
the
linchpin.
Yeah, yeah, and he just is, you're right, he's Frank Castle, you know? I mean, yeah, it's just,
that's
like
what JC said as soon as we walked out of the theater.
Yeah, and it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if the costume decision was necessarily the director-writer, or if, like, Frank Grillo's agent was like, hey, if you want to be the Punisher, this right, is how you right. be the Punisher. You be the Punisher in this movie.
Yeah, and he also was, he was rumored for a long time to be in the Death Wish reboot, and it's sort of, Charles Bronson, too.
Yeah.
And this guy, man, how much is he,
I thought Kevin Bacon was pretty good in the Might As Well Have Been a Death Wish reboot movie.
Right.
That was really good.
Which, wasn't that the Saw people?
Wasn't it
the Saw people? Okay.
Yeah, what's his name? The guy who directed the all but the first one, right?
Oh yeah, yeah,
that was him. Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, to Frank Grillo's credit, he has the lion's share of the emotional weight in this movie. Like, he's the reason I care about this movie at all for me. The two women and the couple, just like, okay, the couple, you should have. My thing is like, why didn't you take your jacket off? He might have like dropped something, like some kind of tag in there. Didn't you realize it was a little bit weird that he came right up to your car?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have checked your car out just a little bit?
Well, I mean, there's questions that are...
And I know I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I'm just saying, like, when characters make decisions that don't really make that much sense to me, it's hard for me to feel for them.
Yeah.
But his character was drawn in such a way that I was on board. I was like, okay, he's a little emotionally conflicted. He's not completely sold on what he wants to do.
I mean, one of my only real problems I had with this was there's a running group, even that is like advertised on the posters for it, where are like seem to be the main antagonists here.
Yeah.
That are like have very distinctive looking masks, who appear to be hunting the young white couple. And they build them up so much. And really, ultimately, the whole thing is just kind of a hollow movie to misdirect you to something else entirely. Yeah. And I was like, really? All that build up and it's just your transfer to get to the third act.
Yeah. You know? It's funny. Like, there's two big misdirects in that movie. That one, which did kind of bother me because those characters look really cool with the masks and everything. And in the end, they're kind of, non-essential. And there's a big misdirect with Frank Grillo's character they kind of hint towards what you think he's going after in the beginning of the movie, and then at the end, completely, totally different. So that misdirect I liked a lot. The one with the marketing people, the people who are in the marketing, not being a huge part of the movie, that was kind of disappointing. But.
Yeah, because they built them up to be pretty damn cool, but I think that was playing on the expectations left over from the first film.
And you hit on something, which is just that they look really cool. And honestly, another thing about this movie is I'm just like, this movie looked awesome. Like, the urban, like, the city at night, and Frank Grillo driving around in this super tough car, just looking like Frank Castle, and those crazy Jason-looking characters
and
with masks on
and
stuff.
With rail guns in the back of them.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much cool just imagery and stuff, and it just looked cool. There was some shaky cam stuff that kind of drives me nuts, but for the most part, I feel like the action was really, like, well shot, and just, I just was like, man, what a step up from the first movie.
Agreed.
Like, on every level.
Well, I'm going to let you finish that with final thoughts, and Elliot, go.
Okay, well, there's one thing I wanted to say. Like, they managed to fit in a really good scene of what a normal person might do with the Purge when just they go over to her friend's house. That's all I'm going to say. And that was really, really well done. For a movie that makes you think, I think is a little bit, it airs too much into caricature if you're trying to send a message this much. It's really fun to watch. You got Frank Grillo basically being the Punisher / Batman, which I enjoyed. I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
Wow, that's it?
I have to knock it down just for the caricatures, for me. That's my thing. But it's a fun movie to go see. You should go see it. But I, as a rating, I gave it 6 out of 10. Frank Grillo should be the Punisher.
JC?
I liked it a lot. I think kind of at one point during the review, somebody said it just kind of threw a lot of stuff up at the on the wall. And I think that's true. I think with the varying plot points of Frank Grillo's character, the mother and the daughter, and then the white couple, I think at 103 minutes, I think you could have totally eliminated the plot line of the white couple's car breaking down.
Yeah.
And that would have shortened the runtime to around 90 minutes, probably. And then it'd be a really solid, probably 8 out of 10 for me. But that makes it run a little too long. In the end, the way it makes you think is really cool. You know, there have been classic sci-fi films that kind of explore the, you know, the class society and kind of whether that's wrong or right. And they do it and, you know, those end up being classic movies where this is just kind of a fun popcorn flick. But, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. It's the expanded world from the first one is a very welcome change. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 bullet wounds.
Ed?
Oh, yeah, so I kind of, there's part of me that feels like this is sort of like the ultimate 2014 movie, because you've got the whole Jason Blum angle where they're making it for cheap, but they're making it for the masses. It's a sequel, you know. We didn't get into this much in the larger review, but I really like that the cast is very multiracial, different, all kinds of different. They're just coming from all over the place, and that's a smart thing to do. The world, you know, and again, in 2014, like, we're looking at the Fast and Furious movies, and these things make the most money, and it's this multi-ethnic thing going on. And
there's no gay people, Ed. What do you think about
okay,
that?
Well, Purge 3, it's happening. Yes, but, I mean, I love
Frank Grillo. Is not gay. What are you talking about?
Tough guy can be gay. Come on.
Yeah, but he's not.
Okay. Hey, you know, the Purge 3, they've got plenty of room for exploring all other elements. You know, and it just shows you a full-on class war. It is class warfare, and it makes you feel uncomfortable, and it makes you kind of cheer at the same time. I mean, watching, you know, these rich people just getting shot at, and they're portrayed as caricature douchebags, but you kind of love seeing them in peril. You love the you know, the underclass rising up, and it's just a... But then you're always going back and forth. Oh no, I shouldn't be cheering about this because this is violence. This is rage. This is wrong.
Yeah, the way the upper class celebrates the purge is really fucking disturbing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had a great time with this movie. There's the violence is right in your face, but it's brutal. It's rated R. It's like, you know, it just was like almost a refreshing movie after so much PG-13 violence that's just, you know, sanitized, whatever. So, and I love Frank Grillo. So I'm going to go a solid 8 out of 10. I'll follow Frank Grillo anywhere except the Raid remakes.
I know, right? Really? Raid remakes in America?
He's
really Sylvester Stallone saying Expendables 3 will be better than the Raid?
Yeah,
what, really? He said that?
Oh, he said that, yeah.
Frank Grillo's cast as the lead in the Raid remake.
Yeah, it's not.
And apparently he's a martial artist.
Yeah, but come on.
You better learn some martial arts.
And yeah, he's great. But yeah, but don't remake the Raid. Like, just don't do it.
If Wesley Snipes is not in the American Raid remake, I don't know what they're doing. Like, he's a great martial artist.
No, I don't disagree. You know, I think I'm obviously more with Ed than anybody else on this one. I think that, like, I mean, Elliot, I think where I ultimately disagree with you is that I don't think there's anything wrong with making this kind of movie as broad and filled with characters that are as caricaturish as there are. In fact, I think this is exactly what this movie should be like. I mean, they want it to be fun, but they also want you to get mad at yourself for having fun. And you have to have big characters like the ones you've described to make that really work. I mean, this isn't an art film. This is, like I said, more of like a John Carpenter film, who through his whole career did exactly the same thing. For me, it really, really worked on that level. If anything, I agree with JC that it was a little bit too long, mainly because the white couple didn't need to be in this movie at all.
Yeah.
They were really there only to sort of have a setup relating to those other antagonists that we referred to earlier.
Kind of misdirecting the marketing
team. Yeah, exactly. You're like, okay, their whole point in the film could have been excised from this completely, and you wouldn't have felt like you were missing anything. It was just really to have more people to be worried about, and they were more annoying than likable overall. Yeah. All I thought. So, I mean, that was something that brought me out of it a little bit, but I still had a really good time with this. Frank Grillo is just such a badass in here, but he's a badass who's a good guy too. You know, he's got a broken soul, but one that he's being helped to heal by two young black women.
Took all of maybe less than a minute for me to go Punisher.
Yeah.
Oh, that scene of him from the back when he's making the decision.
Yeah.
Or the establishing shot. His establishing shot of just putting guns into a duffel bag, and you're like, yep, Punisher.
But yeah, I'm going to say I like the shit out of this. It just, I almost hardly wait to see if this is as different as it was from the first one and evolved it as much. What are they going to do for The Purge 3, which will be, in fact, inevitable? I mean, I think they even put the date from it on the screen at the end of the movie.
Oh, which I have to intercede. The Purge takes place on my birthday.
Oh,
like, I tweeted earlier, I was like, what does that mean?
You'll see. Surprise!
Yeah, yeah.
Butter, 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 butter. No, I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 meaty roles in the future for Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
I think we learned a lot of stuff from this film, but more than anything, we learned that Elliot has the hots for Frank Grillo, apparently.
A little bit.
He's like, I think he's gay.
I'm just saying a little bit.